Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number 1-800-422-416. Now, new housing developments are progressing in East Arnhem Land. New housing developments are continuing in the East Arnhem Land communities of Ramanijin and Galawinginku. The project's seen locals helping to build homes as well as complete their apprenticeships. So with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn there. The Honourable Selena Ubo, Minister for Remote Housing and Homelands, NT. On the line, Honourable Selena, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and a big shout-out to all you deadly Murrays over there in Queensland from the NT
yes.
border over here.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, sister, coming to the program. Look, this is great news. Money's a tool. We're using this tool to build more houses, and we are talking about necessities in life. You know, here we are in the 21st century, and so very important, and it's not an expense. This is investment.
Yeah, Trevor, we know our mob live in overcrowded houses, and we're seeing here in the Northern Territory across our 73 Aboriginal communities a big change in the way that we can reduce overcrowding for our mob because of the housing investment that we've got here. We've just made another 10-year partnership with the federal government to make sure that remote housing construction and the benefits for our mob for housing can continue. It won't rely on those political cycles of...
Yes.
Elections, it will mean that our mob are safeguarded for the next 10 years to see that investment, but to be part of the solution, Trevor, I think that's a big thing we hear across the country is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander mob want to be there doing work for our families to make that difference in the long run. So that's what we're starting to see here in the NT and some work that we're very proud of as the Labor government here in the NT.
Yeah, good. Look, we talk about Australia being a first world country, but in some of our mob are living in third world standards. And when we talk about housing, well, like I said, it's a necessity. So this is great news, great investment, and it's a team effort, yes?
It is, and housing is one of the number one indicators for success in life when we're talking about health, when we're talking about education, when we're talking about employment. And what we're seeing here in the NT is the benefits, particularly around health, reducing that overcrowding. We know a lot of our mob can get skin disease and scabies, which also leads to rheumatic heart disease and those long-term effects when it comes to health. Having that reduction of less people in home, more access, we've got houses that are being designed with more bathrooms, more showers,
yes.
outdoor living spaces, so our mob can live in a way that is better for them and not just in a way that is designed from someone down in Canberra. But the employment side too, Trevor, that's super exciting. We're seeing Aboriginal business enterprises take the lead in construction and
cool.
work on renovations, upgrades, as well as new builds, as in new homes in our community. So it's a great story when we're seeing our mob trained, working, getting that real money, real jobs through this housing investment in the Northern Territory.
So we're talking about like apprenticeships and if not, entrepreneurs, business people stepping into the business world.
Yeah, absolutely. That workforce training, and then when maybe when you talk about a housing contract, when that might move out of a community, just say the work's complete, our mob have the skill to then continue on to do repairs and maintenance and upgrades locally and not have to worry about drive-in, drive-out or fly-in, fly-out contractors. Our mob can be skilled, trained and stay in the community and have that circular economy so money stays in the community and stays in the pockets of our families.
Well, if you look at it, it's so simple. Life is simple. People complicated or government complicated, you know. So this is great news.
True, yeah.
Great news, you know, across the board. And so when we start, we're going for another 10 years. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, we're signing off now. We've had 5 years plus 2 years to sort of get cracking here in the NT, but we're signing off on a deal at the end of this financial year. So, you know, in government talk, that's, you know, middle of the year for the rest of the world.
Sure.
We're going to be signing a 10-year partnership with the federal Labor government. So we're really excited because our mob, especially those businesses who rely on that work, who want to put their trainees or apprenticeships through and get them fully qualified, they can now build their business plans around how do we make sure that we can work for that with the remote housing training packages, but we can ensure that our mob get trained and qualified and continue that work locally. So it's really exciting. A big part of it too, Trevor, is Homelands. We've heard loud and clear across the Northern Territory that we want to see our Homelands residents, our mob who are living on country, they want to continue to thrive on country. They want to see new homes built on country.
Lovely.
So we have a joint steering committee here in the NT, and we've only got four Aboriginal land councils here in the NT compared to your mob Queensland. You've got some more over there.
That's right.
But our land councils are part of that conversation. We've got a peak body around Aboriginal housing who also are advocating for this. Our NT Labor government and then also the federal government through NIAA sits on that committee as well. And we are hearing loud and clear our mob want to be on country and continue to be on country. We saw that during COVID, but we want to see that the infrastructure is also matching the needs for our mob. Growing population, aging population, we need to make sure we're building new homes on homelands as well.
Lovely. So we're talking about new homes. Is there renovation going on with old homes as well?
Yeah, we've got renovations and upgrades, so that'll continue over this next 10-year partnership. And Trevor, we also have a program which we call Room to Breathe, which is building extra living space on existing homes.
Okay.
So it might be extra toilet, kitchen, shower, bedroom, outdoor living space. Some mob want extra storeroom to put all their fishing and hunting gear in.
Yep.
So it's utilising the houses that are already existing and adding to that as well. And it's also land servicing, so it's probably not the part people think about when you think about a new home, but making sure all that land is prepared, that we've got the lease to build on from government with the land councils, and that all that power, water, sewerage, electricity, etc., all of that is plumbed in and ready to go so we can see those new homes out on country.
Deadly. Honourable Selena, a question regarding home ownership. Is that a possibility or is that on the cards as well?
Possibility. We've only, here in the Northern Territory, we've only had one person take that up in the last couple of years. I know nationally they've been talking about it for a while. We've had it as an option here in the NT. Not as many of our mob are interested in that particular part, but I'm hoping that through this 10-year investment, we'll see people want to sort of look and embark on that journey. And it's also about us as government making sure we're keeping up with those aspirations for our mob too. If this is a conversation, we need to really be directed by our community mob, and then being open for that and being supported through government, but also that partnership with the land councils around land tenure, and then looking at the responsibility of what goes onwards once new homes are built or when homes are being upgraded. Where does the responsibility sit so people can go in with all eyes open as well?
Sounds good. Beautiful. Look, a great conversation. Very exciting. Thank you very much, Honourable Selena. We will yarn soon. You take care. Big shout out to all the mob, the NT.
Thank you, Trevor. Stay deadly. And a big shout out to all your listeners. And thanks for your support of the NT.
Too deadly. Thank you, sis. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ta-ra.
Hey, what's going on, your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie. And you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Gary Lang, daily brother from NT, artistic director of Gary Lang NT Dance Company. And we're talking about black dance and talking about they're presenting The Other Side of Me, a fantastic story. We have Gary on the line. Gary, good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you? I'm really well. And yourself?
I'm well, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Gary?
My name's Gary Lang. I'm a Larrakia man. But my company's Gary Lang NT Dance Company is based in Darwin.
Fantastic. And look, you've joined up with Black Dance, is that right, for this performance?
Yeah, look, it's really beautiful because for this production, they saw it last year and at the Darwin Festival, and they came on board to wanting to produce the show, and which is great because, like, when you're creating things and as a small to medium-sized company, you work with what you've got.
Yes.
And they've come on and brought money, you know, help bring money so we can
good tool,
the music.
A good tool.
Very good tool. You know what industry we're in?
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
In the industry of making money.
Yeah, beautiful. Give us a bit of background of the story, The Other Side of Me.
Okay, I'll do that. Like, this show is based on a true God story, not proper story.
Proper story.
Where two young boys, what, about four, five, something like that, were taken from their mother and Catherine and put into a orphanage in Alice Springs.
Mm.
And white missionary teacher and his wife came and they wanted to adopt children. And I'm just putting it in a nutshell,
sure.
So please forgive me.
All good.
And then within 2-3 weeks, they were from the territory, they were back in Cornwall. And, the, you know, to me...
Cornwall, as
doing
in
this,
UK.
In UK, yeah. And what, to me, the crime was, for me, was they were told to change their names, change their identity, you know, and said, then, you know, where they're not from. So that's, you know, taking something away to that point of totally changing somebody's world.
That is that is stolen generation to the max, isn't
that's
it?
That's stolen generation, yeah.
Mm.
And it's really strange because the production isn't about the that journey. It's about what was the aftermath.
Yes.
So when they grew up when they grew up in England, they were like, you know, like they became naughty boys. And because of in and out of the system, you know,
yes.
How
long ago we're talking, Gary?
Hey, brother, I'm the same age as that man.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
I'm 63. Like, I grew up in that, you know, I was part of that time, but I'm just one thing, I was blessed to not be taken from my parents.
Yeah, exactly.
My mother and my grandparents.
And that's not too long ago, my brother?
That's true. And like, because they're the two brothers, but the story's about one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on a journey, and it's like two sides of the same coin. And like growing up, like him growing up, you know, living in a white world or in another area that he doesn't belong, like he's already his letters.
Mm-hmm.
And no lie, his writing was very beautiful. And when you read his letters, I think you could hear his voice talking.
Mm.
And yeah, and he was always wondering, look, this not only started straight with me, it actually started with a lady in England.
Yes.
And she was pen pals with him, and she contacted Kim Walker.
Okay.
And Kim Walker said, this is not our story. There's someone up in Darwin, Gary Lane. So through that.
Yes.
We
And background, Kim Walker, who was with AIDT, Aboriginal Dancer, and Sydney Dance Company as well.
Yeah. And he now is the artistic or general manager, the CEO of NASA Dance College.
Yes.
So, yeah, and he passed that on. So from that point on, we went... Actually, the first part of working this, I went over to Northumbrian in Newcastle, in England.
Yes.
And because of COVID, I was meant to be there for 4 weeks. So I was only there for just under 10 days.
Yes.
And I had to fly back. So it went on the back burner. And then last year, like any artist, you're looking for money to put on a show.
Mm.
And it finally came happening, and I think it was meant to happen in Darwin.
Yes.
And that's it. But again, the two brothers, and especially this
are the two brothers still with us, Gary?
No, they left this world.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
They both died in custody.
Okay.
And but the thing, like I said, it's about this one bloke because he always wanted to know what it would be like to be back on land.
Yes.
You know, the only memories he had was the country, like the country, like the escarpment, how the sun hit the escarpment, the trees, and all that sort of thing.
And his spirit was yearning for his country.
Yeah. And someone asked me, do you think his life would have been any better? And I said, in Australia, I said, no, probably not. But, you know, the thing is he could get out of jail and go back onto country, where in England he got out of jail, he couldn't even leave.
Exactly.
The England, because of his criminal record.
And look, we talk about whatever tools, whatever vehicle we use, whether it be art, whether it be dance, whether it be on-stage performances, we are storytellers, and we tell this true story, and the stories need to be told, Gary.
Look, That is so true. The stories do need to be told, but I think it's not about blaming anybody. This is one thing that I find. It's our story. It's an Australian story, even though it's a Blackfella story.
Yep.
It's our story,
yes.
I don't know, it might resonate with people, it might make them go, no, I don't like this, because of
it. Yeah, but it's truth-telling as well, isn't it, Gary? Truth-telling.
Yeah, that is.
Exactly.
But it's the whole production is about the messiness that's happened in his head. You know, I was going to swear then, but I didn't.
Yeah, thank you. Be strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about the head, the conversation in the head that when you, like, I don't know, you know, and especially depression and that mind conversation, you know, Knights of the Round Table in the head, you know?
Mm, exactly.
You know, we've got one person saying one thing, another, you know, it's that head mess.
Yes,
it's the conversations. So that's what it's about, you know? What if, you know?
Exactly. So the other side of me, the production, you're on the road. You're taking it on the road. Where will you be performing? And what's the cost? Yeah. And I don't know, you're coming to Queensland.
To be honest, I haven't even looked at the cost. I'll be straight out honest.
Yeah, sure.
We, like, through Black Dance, we got this tour quite quickly because we did. Now we're in Margaret River. We're remounting. We've been here 2 weeks remounting the work. Next week is the final part of the remount and performance. And then we go to Perth.
Okay.
And we do 3 shows in Perth.
Yes.
And we're a part of ISPA, it's like a big arts market, international arts market.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Karratha, Carnarvon, back to Darwin for Gurramalang Festival, and then down to Alice Springs.
Beautiful.
Finishing off there.
Fantastic.
And I just hope that's for this year. So I hope this work will
extend.
Travel and tell the story.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic. And how many performances? How many performances? Performers, sorry.
Oh, how many
performers?
People dancing in
the
show? Two.
Two.
It's a 45-minute show.
Okay.
It's full on.
Yes.
But at the end of it, there's Q&A for people to ask questions.
Yeah, beautiful. Yep.
Because doing an hour show with just 2 men non-stop, you know, I don't want to bugger them up.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Broken.
It's it takes a lot out of you, but the story will be told. But that's why it's beautiful, ending with Q&A, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So virtually dance the story, and then we answer questions in words.
That's correct.
Powerful. I love that. Gary, thank you for sharing. So the other side of me, Black Dance and Gary Lang, NT Dance Company, joint venture, fantastic. Where from are you? So you're in Margaret River now, are you?
Yes.
Okay, lovely. Good on you. So how long are we talking, like a month show, travelling?
Yeah, it's about 5 weeks.
Yeah, beautiful.
Travelling.
Yeah. And you're based in Darwin, aren't you, Gary?
Yeah, Gary Lang NT Dance Company is a Darwin company. Yeah,
beautiful.
Blackfella owned too.
Blackfella owned. There it is. Entrepreneur. Me. There you are. Me. Me. Of course you are. Businessman.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Listen, right. Thank you for yarning. Congratulations. All the best. Do you have a web page or people can have a look at where you are and follow you?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, there's something on Facebook that's going around. But yeah, give my love to family, Trevor, and everybody there.
I'll pass that on, my brother. Well, you take care, Gary Lang, and we'll yarn too, my brother.
Thank you, Trevor.
Well, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn. Gary Lang, the artistic director of Gary Lang NT Dance Company, and also a joint venture with Black Dance, and performing The Other Side of Me, it's called. So do check it out on online. Or go to the Facebook page with Gary Lang, Northern Territory Dance Company, and do check out the performance. But storytelling, so true, and talking from the heart. And the story about two young boys, young brothers, were stolen generation and then were adopted and taken over to UK. And that's not only about 60-odd years ago, so still very, very young. Have you say Yanup Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and Yanup with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and a big shout out to all the First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, a Deadly Black Network, too deadly, National Talk Black.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, how deadly is this mob? I'm talking ILF, the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. They win the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award. It's the largest prize for children's literacy in the world. And they've picked up $725,000 for this award, the largest award of its kind in the world. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with deadly sister Zoe Kasim from ILF, Head of Programs. Zoe, good morning. How deadly are you? Thank you for coming to the program, sister.
Dilby, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. We are so chuffed and so humbled by this. And it was very unexpected, but very welcome. Very welcome indeed.
Indeed. Look, before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
So I'm a Widjibal Wild woman from Bundjalung country, so I'm northern New South Wales. But I am living on Darug country in Sydney at the moment. So we're getting a little bit chilly down this way. And I am missing the heat and the beaches from my way.
To Deli, my sister, look fantastic. And you're the head of programs with ILF, the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. Now, of course, as I just mentioned, you guys won the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award 2024, the largest prize of children's literacy. It's the largest award of its kind in the world. You picked up $725,000. As you said, you're chuffed. You're very excited. So tell us how it all started. Tell us how the phone call came, or how did you, who nominated you, or paint the picture, please, sister.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually the third time that we've been nominated for ALMA, for short, because Astrid Lindgren, bless, it's a long name. But it is such a well-known and celebrated award. Mm. And because of our work being national-facing, focusing on supporting the community-led programs in remote Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities across the country.
Yes.
We were nominated because of that work, because our community-led approach and because of the way that we work with publishing our books for and with communities. And, so last year we had some of the crew from Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award, the ALMA crew, came over to Australia. We hosted them for a week. One of our program locations is the Tiwi Islands.
Yes.
So they went up there and they stayed there for a few nights as well. Got to experience a couple of our different programs and have yarns with mob up that way and really find out what it is that we do and how we work. And all we did get was a notification to save. And there was around 250 nominees in this award that if you are the winner, you'll get a call on this date and your local time. For us, it was 8 p.m. And,
so quarter to 8, everyone's sitting by the phone, 7:30, sitting by the phone.
Bloody literally. But our CEO, he was actually coaching his kids' footy team at
And who's CEO? Ben Bowen, isn't it?
Yes.
Big shout
Ben
out.
Ben Bowen.
So he's coaching his football team and supposed to receive this phone call. So what happened?
Waiting by the phone.
Is he the one receiving the phone call or?
He's the one receiving the phone call, and no one has any idea. So we found out at the same time as everyone else did that we won. So bless him, he's got a coach, and he gets the phone call. And
Don't kick it to me. Not now. I got a phone call. $725,000 phone call. Don't kick it to me.
Basically, bless. But so it was a total surprise.
Yes.
And it was just, for us, I think, the most significant thing about it was the recognition of the work that our communities have done.
Exactly.
We've really honed in on that community-led kind of piece. And when it comes to our work, we get asked by communities to come out. We get asked for the resources, and we do whatever we can to support our communities to do what it is that they want to need.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And how they want to tell the story as well. Like, we don't put pressure on that. We don't charge them any money. We just give them access to resources to allow them to tell story our way, to tell story right way. And
exactly.
That is so humbling for us to be able to say, well, this work.
Yeah, look the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, a powerful vehicle. Let me just paint a picture for our listeners out there. The announcement was made in regard to your win at the for the ALMA Award, the largest prize of children's literacy. It was the announcement was made in a live program from Stockholm and at the Bolgna Children's Book Fair on Tuesday 9th of April. Now, the winner was announced from 245 candidates from 68 countries and regions. And Deadly ILF picked up the winning prize. And
We did.
Fantastic, $725,000. And look, it's so exciting. And big shout out to the Tiwi Island Mob. It's fantastic. How long have you been head of programs with ILF, sister?
2 years.
2 years.
And I had a baby in between.
Okay.
ILF baby. It's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind. Yeah, but in all honesty, it's just been probably the best thing to be able to congratulate our community for their
fantastic.
Work. Because
exactly.
it's very much them sharing their stories with us and allowing us to be that kind of publishing agency to help them. That's what it's all about.
Well, we're talking First Nation people, the first people, you know, of the world, and we're talking about storytelling and we're talking about truth telling, and that's exactly what ILF does. And you don't do it for any rewards or recognition. It's keeping our culture alive, but here you get recognised for it and you get a bit of cash. So, too deadly.
It's a bit of cash to keep doing it, basically.
Exactly.
Like, all of that is doing is going to go straight back into our community.
Money's the tool.
It's going to allow us to publish more books. It's going to allow us to kind of do more workshops and things like that. And because we are partnered with a lot of booksellers and publishing houses, it's giving us the recognition to kind of say, hey, you want to work with us, Mob, you want to do it right way, you want to help us, we'll get that.
I've got goosebumps here, sister.
Foot in the door. But it's just about celebrating our culture. As you said, it's celebrating our cultures and stuff and giving our communities the recognition now globally that they deserve, and that celebration of our strength and our resilience. And we've been storytelling for time immemorial. Like, this is our bread and butter. This is what we do.
Exactly.
But we're doing it in a different way, like in a book, instead of our oral histories and storytelling. And it's just about capturing that and being able to, as a not-for-profit, like, we get zero government funding. We get nothing. We are solely surviving on the generosity of these types of grants or organisations who are throwing money our way.
Build it and they will come. Build it and they will come, sister. It's too deadly. Look, congratulations. Thank you very much for the yarn there, Zoe. Big shout out to the team there at Indigenous Literacy Foundation. Congratulations once again. The recipient for the ALMA Awards, the largest prize for children's literature in the world, in Too Deadly Mob. Thank you for the yarn, Zoe.
Thank you so much.
Big shout out to Double B, Ben Bowen, CEO. And we'll yarn soon, sister.
Yes, absolutely. Trevor, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Your way, bye.
Deadly Yarn, Too Deadly. That's Zoe Chasm. She's head of programs at the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. And yes, they won the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award for 2024. As I said, the largest prize for children's literature in the world. And they were up against, winners up against 245 candidates in 68 countries and regions. So, look, Too Deadly. And they picked up $725,000 as a prize. And, look, fantastic non-profit organisation, go government funding. So this just keeps the ILF vehicle running forward and, look, telling our stories. Too Deadly. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong. We are National Talk Black. Yarning with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you Mob, Too Deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to NERS and the team. Thank you very much. And look, we're going to catch up and have a yarn now with Professor Vicky Browning, Director of Pathways to Politics for Women at Queensland University of Technology, and also talk to Sister Kat Hennaway, CEO, Politics in Colour. Ladies, a very good morning. How are you both?
Good morning.
Yeah, you both there? Well, yep. Lovely. Thank you very much. Sister Kat, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Hi, I'm Katia Hennaway. My family are Savikas, born and raised in Bungalow there in Cairns. Mm. Torres Strait Islander from Moa and Murray Island.
Beautiful.
So yeah, we went to the same school.
We did. Yes, Cairns. I represent.
Oh yeah.
To Delhi, Professor Vicky Browning. Who you mob? Where are you from?
Oh, my mob. Well, that's an interesting one because I hail from Africa. So I'm from Kenya, South Africa, and I live in Australia.
And we claim you, my sister, so thank you very much. And thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, Pathways to Politics for Women at Queensland University of Technology. Ladies, girls can do anything. I'm a strong advocate with our deadly sisters out there. Women can do anything. Look, big shout out to my beautiful wife, who's the manager of the station here, 20 years. So girls can lead. We've got a new mayor in Cairns, female, and that's the Mayor Eden, Amy Eden. So, look, girls can do anything. Let's talk about this space. Starting with you, Professor Vicky, Pathways to Politics for Women. So tell us about this journey, please.
Yes, so Pathways to Politics for Women is an initiative of Carol Schwartz from the Trawala Foundation and the Women's Leadership Institute. And it really aims to increase the number of women in Australian politics by equipping a diverse, and I say emphasis on diverse women, to embrace their political ambitions. Mm. And it's now available not only at QET, but also across the whole of Australia. So during the 4 years that QET has delivered this program, we've had 7 First Nations women complete the program, and with one, Surfi Biago, who has been elected as the youngest and the first First Nations woman of the Western Downs Regional Council. So that's a fabulous win for us. And for her, the program provided her with the skills to campaign and to network, and she was well supported by her cohort and other female politicians. So the program really is about that. It's about building capacity for women to stand for election, and it runs over 3 months, a 3 2-day workshop, and this year we're starting in July.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have applications out there that close on the 1st of May. And, you know, it's interesting, Trevor, because there are quite a few barriers that are in the way for women to get into politics. And amongst the ones that probably a lot of people know are also their limited knowledge about politics and political processes and their self-confidence. So we aim through this program to really lift that barrier and help women really feel confident to go up for election and also understand how the political process works. So out of the 26 that went up for local election, Amy was one of them.
Amy Eden, yes.
Of our alum got elected.
Yes, and she's our mayor here in Cairns. Fantastic. So the program puts meat on a bone. It gives them confidence and gives them direction. Are we talking campaigning and then thereafter in the political seat, so to speak? Is that right?
Well, it mainly gets them ready for elections. So they learn the skills, as you say, about campaigning, fundraising, fronting up to the media. But what's really interesting is that they also learn why they're in politics and what difference they want to make. And so, you know, you can understand that, you know, these women come from very diverse communities, regional, rural areas. They come from refugee and migrant backgrounds. So for them, they really want to make a difference in politics. So, yeah, it's really about them sort of thinking about that. So by the time they go up for election, they know what they're standing for.
Would you say, Professor Vicky, that it is a man's world when we're talking about the political arena?
Well, it's changing.
It's changing, good. And it needs to change. Thank you. No, but I'm just saying, in regards to the so-called old white men who've been running this country, you could say, for so many years, there is space and look for women, and women can get in those spaces. And when we talk about the first female prime minister of this country, I mean, look, we need that female input. Of course we do, to steer this country.
And they do bring a very different perspective into Parliament, and a very valuable perspective into Parliament. And exactly. So it's really important that we support these women to get in and support them through their journey in politics.
Thank you. We'll talk to Kat Hannaway's sister, Politics in Colour. Tell us, you're the CEO there. Tell us about this space, how long you've been in this role, and what is the vehicle you're driving there, sis?
Yeah, so Politics in Colour, we started this in 2020, and we set up a little Indigenous business and said we want to talk to Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people about politics and also people of colour in this country. Mm. I used to be on the board of an organisation that was, teaching women how to get elected.
Yes.
And and they wanted me to create a program to bring more people of colour, and so I called it Politics in Colour.
Why not, yes.
And we launched with a webinar, and we spoke to, at the time, Linda Burney was the shadow minister. Mm. So it was Linda Burney, Moraine Faruqi, who's the head of the, deputy of the Greens Party now, Jenny Leong, who's a Malaysian politician here in Sydney, and Kaushalya Vergela, an Indian politician in Melbourne.
Fantastic.
And they all came on a Zoom, and we said to them, we called the webinar Candid Conversations.
Sure.
And we said to them, tell us what it's really like to be black and brown women in politics, in Parliament.
Yes, yes.
Well, they opened up this conversation. Over 100 women jumped on the Zoom from three different countries.
Good.
And we just had a really big, honest conversation about the barriers for women of colour and First Nations women. And they were very honest and very generous, telling about their experience. And the women in the Zoom, they really, really appreciated it. They were very excited. And it occurred to me that no one had ever asked people of colour, what is it like for you? How much, what is your experience of getting elected?
Yes.
And so we realised that we needed to continue the conversation.
Lovely.
And so Candid Conversations has been running since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We put people of colour, First Nations people, into webinars, and we ask them to tell us what their experience is like.
Yeah, fantastic.
And we also run workshops teaching people of colour how to get elected. And that's how I got involved with Pathways to Politics.
Mm.
Again, the Trawalla Foundation originally. They funded our workshops, and we started teaching women of colour how to get elected, because Pathways to Politics for Women, of course, focus only on women. And so we ran those workshops for 3 years. They were very successful, and that enabled more culturally diverse women to go into Pathways programs.
Sure.
So it was really great. Really impactful.
Mm-hmm.
The women were really excited about the program, and it was really fantastic to do the
good,
work.
Good,
and
good.
We continue today.
Lovely.
We still promote our mobs and culturally diverse people, and we've seen a really big shift in the country since we started doing this work.
That's fantastic, Kat. Look, what I'd do, I'd love to reach out to you. As you're well aware, I'm the new councillor for Cairns Regional Council, First Nation person. Yeah, thank you. And the first First Nation person ever to be a councillor. So I'd love to add to the space and help our sisters out there. So we'll contact each other and have a yarn later. Professor Vicky, look, fantastic, this Pathways to Politics for Women. Anyone can apply, and how do they do it?
Well, the application is online, so they just go to pathwaytopolitics.org.au, or they can go to the QUT website and put in Pathway to Politics and apply.
Yes.
And one thing I do want to mention to them is that this program is free.
Okay,
so
beautiful.
So one of the key things, barriers has been for women and people from diverse communities is the financial investment. So this is here, this is there, available to them. Good. To really upskill themselves. So
invest
very,
their time.
Welcome application.
Professor Vicky, thank you for the yarn. Thank you so very much. And Sister Kat Hennaway, thank you, sis. We'll be in touch. All the best, ladies, and I love this space, and please keep us in mind, National Talk Black, regarding any more further conversations.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thanks, ladies. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's Professor Vicky Browning, Director of Pathways to Politics for Women at Queensland University of Technology, and also Sister Kat Hennaway, CEO, Politics and Colour. So there it is, your mob, especially our deadly women out there looking at the political arena. You can get educated or get support in that space. So there it is. Have you saying yarn up strong here. National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country, BBM Bummer, BBM Media, 98.7 FM, and National Talk Black.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Drip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob. Big shout out to First Nation Radio Station across this beautiful country of ours, Daily Black Network. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Miranda Donnelly. She's with Black Dance and doing a joint venture with Gary Lang, who had a yarn with the other day, Artistic Director for Gary Lang NT Dance Company. And we're talking about the performance of The Other Side of Me. We have Miranda on the line. Miranda, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, thank you. It's a good day.
It's a good day. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah. So, Yama. My name's Miranda Donnelly. I'm a Wiradjuri woman. I was born in Forbes, which is central New South Wales. And my grandparents live in Condoblin. So I was raised off country in Tinga in northwest New South Wales on Kamilaroi country.
Yes. Beautiful footprint. Thank you very much, my sister. Look, I had a deadly yarn with Gary Lang, choreographer of the work and artistic director of Gary Lang NT Dance Company. You guys done a joint venture. You're the director, owner of Black Dance, is that right?
Yeah, co-CEO and executive producer.
Okay, fantastic. Now, both you and Gary hooked up and did The Other Side of Me, a performance, live performance on stage. But let's first talk about Black Dance, how it first started. How long have you been running for, sister?
Yeah, well, we've been around for about 20 years, okay. And our founder is Marilyn Miller, who's from Cairns.
Yes.
Yalanji woman. Probably know her.
Yes, we do.
And she came together with people like Gary Lang and, different artists, because they'd all sort of moved on from being company dancers in Bangara or AIDT, the company, different companies around that time. And, they came out of the black theatre and dance movement in the 70s and they created Black Dance in order to build pathways and opportunities for people who were looking to make a career for themselves as choreographers or make their own dance companies.
And I will say that Sister Maz, and very good morning, big shout out, sister. She also danced alongside Gary Lang when they was at NASDA.
Yeah, they're industry husband and wife.
You could say, yes. Too deadly. So tell us about The Other Side of Me, this performance live on stage, and how you hooked up with Gary Lang, Artistic Director of Gary Lang NT Dance Company. How'd that happen?
Yeah, well, we went and seen it in Darwin. It premiered at the Darwin Festival last year. And so it was really great. We looked at it and we thought, because we produce a lot of choreographers and we support Mob to Tour. So we looked at it and we thought, oh, this work just has to tour. You know, he's an elder in our dance community.
Yes.
Up there in Darwin. And, it can be a bit isolating sometimes. And, sometimes people don't get to see his work as much as what they should. So, we said to him, hey, Gary, this is a really compelling story and it's been beautifully made. Can we help you pitch it and try and build a tour So it can go all around the country and the world. And
yes,
that's what we've done.
Fantastic, fantastic. So tell us about The Other Side of Me. How many performers on stage?
It's a duet.
Okay.
So and it's two men, and what they represent, according to Gary, is the story's about this young fellow who's adopted or stolen in the 60s from his family in the Northern Territory, and a white British family come over and try and adopt him, and eventually they do, and they take him back to England and they raise him stripped of all of his identity.
Yes.
And so he doesn't have a really great time, because you could imagine what that would be like, and he ends up incarcerated, and when he does find out who he is and where he's from, he can't come back home because he has a criminal record now.
Yes.
And so he spends his last years of his life writing to this black British woman who's also adopted but from the Caribbean. And he tells her how he wishes that he could have known the other side of himself. And he tragically dies in police custody. And this black British woman comes to Gary a few years later and says, I have this story that I think needs to come home and be told. And so
yes,
then Gary goes over to the UK and he meets the white mother and
yep,
the family over there. And what he learns, he says to us that he wishes that he, you know, when he goes over there, he wants to hate them for what they've done.
Mm.
But what he learns is that that woman loved her son, and
yeah,
she was abiding by government policies of that time.
Mm.
And the policy was to remove all traces of his identity and his lineage. So it's a complicated love story, and it's the duet, the two men, is about one is this fella over in the UK, and then one is who he could have been if he had been raised in his family, on his country, with his law and his ceremony, and you know, so it's heartbreaking, actually.
Yeah, and when you look at it, Marinda, we are storytellers, and in this situation, we're using dance movement to tell the story. So two men on the stage and performing The Other Side of Me, but the stories are real, and it's truth telling, isn't it, sister?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a gut wrenching show, because we brought in Badala Marika, who's the song man, and he sings, and he actually, the sound designers and the projection designers went and went up to Arnhem Land with Gary and his family, and they worked with the community there to record the songs that have been mixed into the show. And the way they've done it is so that when Bunnell is singing, he's actually singing to bring his spirit home. And so every time the show gets performed, his spirit gets sung back home a little bit more.
Yes. And so tell us about Thomas and the Silent Project. And who's Thomas? Your connection there, please, sister.
Yeah. So Thomas E.S. Kelly is the choreographer of Silent, which is, he's also the artistic director of a really new, deadly, emerging contemporary dance company on the Gold Coast.
Okay.
And we've actually done Silence up in Cairns.
Okay, righty-o.
Already, and everybody loved it.
Cool.
The mob up there were wild that we didn't have more shows.
Okay. there you go.
Which is usually the response.
Yep.
Because Silence has toured the country already. It's been going since Thomas first started making it in 2018.
Yes.
And it premiered in the Brisbane Festival in 2020, in the middle of COVID. And then we did the same thing as we did with Gary. We said to Tom, hey, do you want to tour it? We'd like to support that process, because it takes a lot of administration and grant writing and you know, all that behind the scenes work to get a show touring. And we've toured with Tom, silence to 19 venues across Australia. And it's been seen by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And now it's going over to Western Australia. It's going to be there when Gary's show, The Other Side of Me, is on. So it's going to have a season there. And then it goes to the Sydney Opera House for its last ever show.
All right, fantastic, fantastic. And with The Other Side of Me, that's on the road now, isn't it?
Yep, it's at Margaret River right now. It opens this weekend. They've just been bringing all that sound and projections and lighting back into the space and rehearsing the work back onto the dancers and getting it in their body. And then after Margaret River, The Other Side of Me goes to the State Theatre in Perth.
Yes.
And that's from the 30th of April to the 2nd of May.
Okay, fantastic. And yourself, are you performing?
Well, I used to dance.
Okay.
I've got a background in dance, but I stopped dancing and performing in my early 20s, and I started working as a producer and administrator behind the scenes with dancers, because that's what I love. That's what I grew up doing. So
yeah,
I love working with mob and helping them get opportunities that are not always readily available for our mob.
Yes. And who's on board Black Dance? How many crew you got there, sister?
Well, we'll work with anyone. If people come to us, if a choreographer comes to us or a creative and says, hey, I've got a really deadly idea, then we'll sit down and scope it out and explore it and figure out how to turn it into a production. It can take years because we work with professional artists that make work for the big stage, for the main stage. At the moment, we're working with Raymond and Juanita Blanco. We're working with Tibian and Lenny on a show with Queensland Theatre Company and Isaac Drandich. We're working with Marilyn, Katina Olsen and Jasmine Shepherd on a show called Preparing Ground. We're working with a Kalkadoon fellow named Joshua Pepper.
Yes.
He's got a show called The Reckoning. We're working with a Wiradjuri artist, Joel Bray. He's got five shows that we're working with. Jacob Bowen and his new show, Gurunda. The list goes on and on.
So join the dots, exactly. So there's connections everywhere. Yeah. Look, fantastic. Yeah. Marinda, thank you very much for sharing. Listen, all the best with Black Dance. And a big shout out to Gary Lang in regard to the Gary Lang NT Dance Company, and also the show that's on the road at the moment, Margaret River. The Other Side of Me is what it's called. And thank you for your yarn. You say Black Stay Deadly, sister, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, thank you so much.
And all the best, darling. Keep smiling. I'll say hello to Maz for you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's Marinda Donnelly. And, she's running Black Dance. And big shout-out to Maz. And that's Marilyn Miller, who's based here in Cairns and was with Nasda and connected there with Marinda. And they've now joined with Gary Lang. Gary Lang NT Dance Company. Had a good yarn with Gary Lang. So look out for The Other Side of Me, it's called. And it's a beautiful story about two young brothers. Well, beautiful story in regard to how they was taken, stolen generation. And they were adopted by a white couple. They took them back to England, New Zealand. UK is what I want to say. Yeah, not New Zealand. Big shout out to your brothers and sisters in New Zealand, but we're talking about UK. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? We're live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. National Talk Black, too deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.